The following was recorded in front of a live studio audience at the Studio 21 Podcast Cafe. This is the United Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Quirky Dog Podcast, inspired by some of the quirkiest dogs you can ever imagine and the owners who love them. This podcast is brought to you by the quirky couple themselves, Scott and Jess Williams. Their aim is to educate and entertain. Here's Scott and Jess.
Welcome, guys, and happy Wednesday. Today, we are going to talk about territorial aggression. But first, we're going to start with the quirky tip of the day. All right. Our quirky tip of the day is brought to you by Viagen Pets. And some people have been asking if I send in my dogs, you know, genetic material to be cloned, how long will that last? And I just want you to know that the preservation process that Viagen provides, the DNA can last up to decades. So don't feel like you're in any rush to have to clone, you know, your dog or your cat or your horse right when you send it in. The actual quirky tip is, as it relates to territorial aggression, if you have an invisible fence and you have a dog with strong territorial aggression, we would highly recommend that you install another type of fence. That seems to be a common trigger for dogs with territorial aggression. And obviously, there's many different levels of aggression and types of aggression and everything else. Today, we are going to be focusing on territorial, meaning aggression that you see just at the house or aggression that you see just within the vehicle, the dog protecting his or her territory. There is resource guarding of, you know, a person and everything else too, but we're not going to extend that to territorial aggression. So today, we are talking about dogs who could be the absolute best behaved little patients at the vet, dogs that are completely sweet on the street. But if somebody comes over to your house, they may pull somebody's pants down and tear them apart.
Oh, it's kind of a kinky.
one of the dogs that we own, one of the rescues who has territorial aggression, actually did pull a woman's pants down that came to the house. He was pulling so hard on the pants. So that's why I used that analogy. But Literally, this is something that a lot of our clients have been talking about, and I think people need more tips just specifically with dogs with this territorial aggression. And your dog could have many types of aggression, and territorial is a component of it, but there are different ways that you should be handling and managing your dog than you might be. So we are here today to help save the day and hopefully save you some lawsuits.
Save the day. Well, you know, I was thinking about this because I just got a new client, and her dog did bite the UPS lady. There was a lawsuit. Her homeowner's insurance canceled her, and then she had to get a new policy and all that stuff. And the dog has, previous to the UPS person, the dog has bit 7 people coming into the house. So that's quite a history. And the one thing about territorial aggression, I'll say, that makes it really manageable is that it's very predictable. Unlike maybe fear aggression, there's some other types of things that, you know, the triggers aren't always clear about why the dog bit. But with territorial aggression, it's always the same thing. It's their house. The strangers come on the property. They blow up. You know, they blow up at the window seeing somebody outside. Gardeners come to cut the grass, things like that. It can happen in the car where someone comes near your car. They blow up, start barking aggressively. It can happen if you go camping. You got your dog on the campsite. The dog settles in. And it's different, you know, I think, for all dogs as far as how long it takes them to then perceive this area as their territory. But a lot of dogs, really quickly, it's like you set up the campgrounds, you know, you get out your little cook stove, whatever you're doing there, you settle in after about 6 hours. Now this dog, anyone walks by the campsite, your dog's blowing up at them, barking at them. So it's really predictable, which makes it pretty easy to manage, train, and I'm not going to say fix because it's a genetic predisposition in dogs, but through training, it can be a very managed behavior. I mean, we have in our house, we have like at least most of our dogs have territorial aggression.
Yeah.
Most of them do.
And I would say,
if they were untrained and out of control, they'd be biting the crap out of everybody.
Well, and at least 3 of them right now have territorial aggression that, you know, could turn into a bite. It has potentially turned into a bite in the past in other homes and everything else. So, you know, this is something that we are coaching people about quite frequently. And we really want to kind of have you put your thinking caps on here today to if you do see these triggers with, you know, a young dog or a new rescue, how can I prevent something from happening? Or if you've had, you know, some serious issues where there's, you know, police reports or medical reports or, you know, your homeowner's insurance has dropped you, how do we prevent this from happening in the future? So the vehicle, I think, is a good place to start. If you have territorial aggression in your car, first and foremost, we would recommend you are transporting your dog in a crate. Dog is safer in a crate. Just a lot of benefits to that whole situation. We talk about it all the time. We love Roughland Kennels for, you know, transport. Another thing is if you absolutely can't crate your dog, or your dog has terrible crate anxiety or something else, you're not rolling your windows down far enough for someone to be able to reach in or for your dog to be able to be, you know, getting its head and its muzzle out the window. So that's just a number one. Let's kind of look at the car. How can we prevent this from happening? The harnesses where they hook into the seatbelts and stuff, not that great. The dog can still be expressing a lot of aggression. If anything, I would talk about more like window covering, some way to manage that kind of thing. But our first go-to 180% would be crating your dog in the car and then making sure those windows are never low enough where your dog can either exit for a bite or someone can reach in for a bite.
You're doing a 180 on that one, huh?
What do you mean?
You said 180%.
Oh, I'm going 180.
Yeah, the window coverings are good. Those are management tips. The crate, window coverings. I also, the seatbelt thing I don't think is necessarily a bad thing because if your dog is bouncing from one side of the car to the other, lunging at this one, now's a person over there, every stoplight, they're loading up on things around the car. If you can keep them from being able to move so much in the vehicle, that'll start to cut down on it also.
Yeah.
But those are just management tips. But they're good ones. They're good ones. I've even had a leash on the dog that's in the back seat, and the leash is coming over the front seat. Right? You know, I have it in my hand so that I can interrupt behavior from the front seat. But yeah, the car, and then of course, roll the windows up. Like, I know of people that, I remember an old lady got bit by a bull breed mix, trying to get, the cars were parked at 7-Eleven. There's a car sitting there with a big bulldog in it, all the windows down. She had to go between the two cars to get into her car. And she didn't stick her arm in the window, but she brushed. She was close enough that that dog just came out and grabbed her arm.
Yeah.
So things like that are so preventable. You know, have some forethought. Think about other people, you know?
And, you know, the safety, it's your dog's life is on the line here. You know, your personal relationship with your dog. Nobody wants to have to put their dog down because of aggressive incidents and everything else.
And the public is at risk. I mean, aside from your special relationship with your damn dog, old lady shouldn't be getting bit. I wouldn't want my mom to get her arm half torn off by your dog because you felt your dog needed the freedom and had needed to have all the windows open and all this bullshit. You know?
Yeah. So for the vehicle, those would be our go-tos. And a lot of the stuff with territorial aggression is management. Like Scott is saying, there's a genetic predisposition towards a lot of these breeds. Next week, we are doing a podcast episode with an author of a book who wrote about guardian dogs, you know, these like livestock protection dogs that stay out and protect the herd. These specific guardian type breeds, they're bred with territorial aggression. When you're reading on Wikipedia and AKC, dog has a protective nature. Nature, you know, good about, you know, keeping people away from the family, only likes the family unit. These are all signs of, hey, the dog probably is going to have some territorial aggression and was bred to be that way. You know what I mean? So you're not going to train this out of the dog, but you need to start structuring your life in such a way that these incidents don't keep happening or they don't keep escalating. So I would say for the vehicles, that pretty much closes that for me. And that's what we would recommend. Any other thoughts on vehicles?
No, you need to know what you have.
Yeah.
Know what you have for a dog. If you have a Jeep and you want to ride around with the top off and, you know, in your surf shorts, if you have a dog, it's great. Here's my buddy. He's in the car. People like to pet dogs.
Yeah.
People are also stupid, and they will reach in.
And
hey,
not,
buddy, and then boom.
And do not justify just because your dog is, you know, under 20 pounds, but still a biter. Oh, it's not doing that much damage. You know, it just breaks the skin, but you can put a Band-Aid on it. The dog should not be biting no matter what. It doesn't matter how big the dog is. We're not justifying any of this aggression. So when we get to the house, there are a lot of different ways to troubleshoot this and think about this, and you're going to have to get creative. And really, you're going to have to make some investments. And I mentioned the invisible fence and the quirky tip, and I understand that is not feasible for everyone to go and install an actual fence. I understand that some towns don't even allow you to install fences, and it's a whole aesthetic thing within the town. But the territorial aggression and the invisible fences have never gone well from what we see. And I think in a sense it increases that because the dogs are just at that line, just loading up all the time, people passing, dogs passing, everything else. But, you know, a guy can still come to check your electric meter within an invisible fence. Another dog can cross the invisible fence into your yard. A human can run into your yard. A kid can run into your yard. Invisible fences are not the best solution with dogs with strong territorial aggression. And really, even chain link fences aren't. Like, a visual block would be our number one go-to. And this is just important to think of if you're looking for a new house, or you're putting a fence in, or you have these types of situations, especially a younger dog showing territorial aggression. How can you start to structure your life in such a way that there will be either zero incidents or a very low likelihood of an aggressive incident moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, and what it would look like is growling, barking, snapping, lunging, just obvious displays of aggression. And with that invisible fence, they'll be on their front porch. And this happens to me on occasion, and it's pretty scary. I'll be walking a dog, and all of a sudden, this dog will come flying off the porch, running right up, and they know where the invisible fence is. They're all hackled up, barking, and then they're running back and forth on that line. And I'm just waiting. Are they gonna breach the fence, or what the frig's going to happen here? And I'm moving, trying to get by as quick as possible. But it's really stressful. It's stressful for the people that walk by your house. They shouldn't have to deal with that. But it's very stressful for your dog also.
Yes.
And they're
rehearsing a lot of aggression, intense aggression.
Yeah, and I had a client that just came with me too, that they had a little bull mix, bull breed mix, that had this situation going. And it was respectful of the fence, but it was just blowing up and it was going crazy. So we trained a recall. We did some e-collar training with this dog. And
got better quick?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because at first I had a dog. I walked back and forth. She let the dog out of the house. Dog came running towards me. She called the dog back. She was able to establish some control. We taught the dog to get on a bed. So when they're out there working, doing some spring cleanup now, they can put the dog on a dog bed, and it doesn't matter what's going on. The dog is so much more comfortable not being controlled by its own instinctive behavior. I had just come with her dog just to proof it, and the dog came out and started running towards Jess. The lady called the dog. Dog turned on a dime, came right back, and everything is good. Now, they're not leaving that dog out alone in the yard. They go out there with the dog, and they can control the dog's behavior.
And the dog is
very
much
easily.
More respectful in their presence now than it used to be because of the training.
And now it's at a point where, again, if they're out there, the dog won't even run towards anybody. The dog will see someone and just sit and just watch the people go by without any command to stay somewhere. They just know that that's not an acceptable behavior. And I suspect if they were out there by themselves, they'd be good for maybe a day or two, but then they would start, that behavior would start in again, because it's just in their DNA to do this, to protect things. And a lot of herders, a lot of shepherds at border collies, they all have this kind of herding instinct, and to protect, you know, to a certain degree, the flock.
Yeah.
They're not guarding dogs, but they're herders, and they're going
to
just...
You're going to have to go the extra mile, and you might have to make, you know, an extra financial investment. All right, let's go to break super quick, and we get back. We're going to talk more about territorial aggression and how to keep your dog safe within the home.
Want to keep up with all the latest from the Quirky Dog Podcast like me and Murphy here? Then make sure you head on over to the YouTube channel and subscribe. Or if you prefer to listen to the madness, go on over to iTunes or Spotify and follow the Quirky Dog Podcast. And hey, while you're there, leave a rating and review and let them know what you think of the show. Until then, keep it quirky.
All right, we're back. So I do want to give you guys a few more tips as far as the fencing and the yard situation goes. I understand that it is not feasible for everyone to, you know, make the investment of a whole fence, especially if you have a large property. Kennels, something you can get at Tractor Supply, something else. That at least is an enclosed area. It is a fence within your property. The dog is better contained. Another thing that we like are the overhead tethers. We do not use them with our own dogs, but some people do have the setup where
I've used two trees. Several times.
Well, you have Scott and I haven't together, but Scott's used them in the past. You have two trees or something that you can connect them to, and the dog is able to go back and forth between two things. But the tether is coming from the top, you guys. We are never big on tethers coming from the ground. They can twist around the dog's legs, cut off circulation, twist around their neck, and everything else. So those are two other things to consider if you are like, yeah, the invisible fence isn't working, but I can't put in a physical fence or my town will not allow me. What else can I do? Outside of the fencing and the outdoor situation, there's the whole issue of people coming
Into the house.
And there's a lot of ways that you can structure this and play with this. Some people that I've seen have like a front gate set up for their house and the dog only goes out the back door. So the backyard is more secure and everything else, but the front yard is, you know, like a more like friendly looking gate. It isn't as secure, never somewhere the dog is. That gate is locked. So there is a way that when someone comes to your property now, the gate's locked, they have to connect with the home somehow through a Ring camera, something else. They have to like ring the doorbell in a sense, but it's from the gate. So that is a really good solution to come up with. Your door should be locked. There should not be an open door policy. You know, if the dog is good with your children and stuff that come home, that's fine. They have a key to the house. Otherwise, your door should be locked. People should not be coming into your home just because they're friends or family or something else, the dog with this strong territorial aggression. There's also other ways, your front door, your front foyer, everything else, you're structuring that situation differently. Maybe you're putting in another door. So there's like a mudroom type of situation, another layer of protection. There's a gate. There are ways that you can start to structure your home so everyone is safer right from the get-go. And if you are building a home or you're purchasing a new home or something else, consider creating these little like management techniques and these little setups so people are safer, so you feel more willing to invite people into your home in a safe way. Of course, any dog with territorial aggression should be accustomed to being in a crate. We want all dogs to be conditioned to a crate and feel comfortable in a crate. But ideally, UPS shows up, the, you know, truck comes to the driveway, the dog starts going crazy. You can now manage that dog, get the dog in the crate before you open the door to get the package. These are just very basic things. And they seem like, well, that's such a hassle and I don't want to go through that. But you have one or two lawsuits and you lose, you know, your homeowner insurance policy. You start to make some adjustments in your life. So we're trying to help you guys on the front end with giving you some suggestions. Yes. Yeah. Or you get rid of the dog or you euthanize the dog.
And that's all you're putting a lot of emphasis on management. And I think that's good because most people don't want to do any training. But I think territorial aggression is really, you can cover that up and get control of that really pretty easily with training. If you have you do some good training with the dog. And what I mean is, you know, the dog, you have a relationship where you can tell the dog to just go lay down, things like that. But I always meet, whenever I go to somebody's house, regardless of the history with that dog, I have them bring the dog outside to me. And I meet the dog in as neutral a place as I can to establish a little relationship.
Yeah,
with
out
the dog.
On the street or out in a driveway. And we'll even invite people to come to a park near us. Yeah, it doesn't even have to be on their personal property.
After I have a little relationship with the dog and I'm taking the leash, I want the dog to work with me a bit. Then we can go in the house. And it's, you know, 99 times out of 100, it's not a problem. There's been times with dogs that still want to come after me after I've worked with them a bit, and then they get in the house and their head gets all twisted and they get all crazy. But that's, you know, a lot of instability where, you know, there's a situation where with an untrained dog, this happens fairly often. They have that territorial component. The people come in, they're trying to manage the dog, and then everything seems fine. The dog settles down. But then the guest just stands up. They're sitting in a couch, they stand up to go to the bathroom or they stand up for whatever reason, dog blows up again because the person's moving again in the house.
Yeah, you know? And sometimes that's more of like a fear aggression, I'd say, and an instability than the territorial.
Closely related.
Yeah. So, and Scott's right, training does help, right? Like you have a solid bed command, you tell your dog to get on your bed, you have your guests come over, keep your guests away from the
dog.
I'd
be comfortable having anybody come in our house with our dogs loose.
Yeah, but we're professional dog trainers.
They're
and
trained.
We train them to a certain level.
And the level isn't that high, trust
yeah,
me.
Yeah, but people, for the most part, you won't even commit to putting a 6-foot leash on your dog sometimes. And I understand that. And I understand that there are extra steps here. But if you set things up from the beginning and you are also additionally going to train, you're going to have the best bang for your buck here. But if you just want management, there are ways to manage. There are ways to make this whole situation a lot safer. And once you see one system fail, you need to start troubleshooting and think, okay, I need to change this for the next time. It could just be that you're installing a higher, more privacy type fence on one side of your property that abuts the neighbor that, you know, has kids or friends that want to reach over, and, you know, the rest of the property, this isn't happening. But you have to start getting creative and you have to start putting in preventative measures to prevent this from happening, because the situations we know about and the clients we know about, it's not just that it happened once and they call. It has happened multiple times, if not dozens of times. And there's only so many times that the dogs have and that your neighborhood is going to tolerate before there are some huge repercussions with all of this.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a dog like this, I would spend much less time wondering about why it's happening, and more time on making sure it doesn't happen again. You can wonder about why it's happening, but you've put in whatever stop gaps there are to make sure this never happens again.
Yeah.
You know, part of the problem is when you have kids, you know, teenagers and young that bring their friends over, then all of a sudden these dogs are great with their people. They're great with the family, but it's someone else coming in. It could be a plumber. It could be one of your 15-year-old son's friends comes in, and all of the dog's like, who the frig is that? And all of a sudden, they got a problem. You know?
And this is why the open door policy just isn't going to work. And you have to be very thoughtful, and you have to have very strict rules as a family about how we're going to deal with this situation if you want to keep this same dog in your house. And let's not forget, repetition builds behavior. So every rehearsal that dog has of barking like a maniac outside your bay window all day long while you're at work, where everyone crosses and, you know, the mailman just drops off your mail at the mailbox, and it's reinforcing to them. They bark out the window. They're huge. They're powerful. The person keeps walking. They walk away. The mailman stops to come. They walk away. The UPS man goes to drop off a package. They leave. The dog's thinking, oh, look how much power I have. Look how strong I am. Look how much of an impact I'm making. I'm keeping dogs off my property. So similar to like we were talking about with the vehicles, you're going to block those windows. You're going to limit those repetitions of the dog just blowing up at doors and windows and fences all day long, especially when it comes to other dogs and other people where the aggression is directed. Some dogs will bark outside to, you know, chipmunks and squirrels and everything all day too, which annoys me, but it's not necessarily territorial aggression. That's more prey aggression and not a behavior that we'd want to rehearse. But when we're talking about a dog who, you know, in his or her head is thinking, I just want to kill that person. I don't want this person anywhere near my property. And they're actually having success with aggressive behavior, keeping people off of their property. You need to start limiting that and being creative in that regard as well.
Yeah. And I would just let, if you're home when the stuff's going on, you know, there's a few different things you can do. But the first thing is I'd put a leash on the dog and let them just drag a leash around in the house so that when they run up to the window, you can grab the leash and move them away from the window. Because some dogs get so overstimulated that if you go to pull them off, yeah, they redirect now and snap at you. And another thing is I had one client with this territorial issue with a shepherd that they lived right next to a school. So at, you know, 2:45, this parade of little monsters came walking by their fence every day. And the dog just went crazy, running up and down the fence, barking, snarling. I said, why the frig don't you bring the dog in the house at 2:30? Just bring the dog in the house until all the kids go by. Let them back out an hour later. I mean, it's so easy. People don't even think about it. Thinking, well, we don't want the dog doing this. Then don't let the dog do it. That's the first step.
Limit the repetitions.
Because kids are also can be a little, you know, would it be kids? And so they're going to taunt the dog and, you know, maybe have a stick and rub it along the fence and get the dog worked up and all that stuff. I mean, I know when I was a kid, I wasn't best behaved.
You were a little bit different breed of a child. Another thing is if your dog does have a history of biting people that come over, and maybe you've done this great training and your dog has a solid bed command now and you can call the dog away from the door if they go to rush the door or something else, do not allow the dog to meet people in your house. I don't care how long it's been. Make a solid, hard rule that, like, yeah, the dog has its inner circle. It likes me. It likes my mom. It likes my dad. It likes, you know, my stepson that comes over, and it likes one friend of mine. That's the dog's circle. That's the dog's, like, community that it gets to meet inside the home. There is no reason to push territorial aggression and see, okay, well, the dog seems more settled down. Let's see if it'll meet, you know, Susie, even though it hated Jack and Frank and, you know, Amber or whatever.
Certainly.
Your other friends. Like, no, we're not testing this anymore. If the dog has a history of biting in your home, there is a zero interaction policy with strangers or people that are not within that dog's inner circle to be interacting with the dog in your house.
Yeah. And I was going to say, certainly if there's a bite history, you don't want to be getting other people involved that possibly could get bit, because even if the dog is doing its best, you can't trust people. You know, the dog might be being neutral, not thrilled with the situation, but being neutral and just hanging out. Like, I'd rather they weren't here, but it's okay. That's mom's friend. But then the people go running, hey, buddy,
pushing,
buddy, and they
pushing.
Get right in the dog's face, and the dog is like backing up, and then next thing you know, boom, it happens. So that's why I tend to put my, certainly my Malinois will not be, you wouldn't even know I owned him. If you came to my house, it was the first time you came over, because he'll stay on a bed and be calm and everything, but I don't want people to, he doesn't know, running up in his face saying, "You're so beautiful," and all this bullshit, because he's got a low tolerance for that kind of crap.
We are big on protecting our dogs. And I do want to touch on the fact that, yes, this podcast has been all about territorial aggression, but if you have, you know, aggression with handling, if you have reactivity on a leash, if you have a bunch of other aggression on top of the territorial aggression, get on top of that as well. Condition your dog to a muzzle. Teach your dog to walk on a loose leash. If you're concerned about the dog out in public and other animals racing up to it, condition the dog to walk on a muzzle. Anywhere you work on the aggression is going to help the situation, but it's that day in, day out repetitiveness of, this is my house, I don't want you here, don't stay here. You know, the people trying to pull the dog back from their chest away from the door while they just want to freaking kill this person. They can't hang on. The dog gets away, feels very powerful, and, you know, nips the third service person that it's nipped in its life. Like, these are the situations that you want to start quelling and start having a different game plan so it never happens again. I say to our clients all the time, and not so much about this topic, but, you know, about something serious that we're talking about in training, think of it as, you know, if this issue happened again, you'd have to take $1,000 cash off of your counter and flush it down the toilet. Like, you want to start to create a really huge cost in your mind before it becomes a legal issue, or, you know, an issue where your dog's life is on the line, or it becomes something really life or death, if you will. You want to create in your mind this cost of, like, okay, like, I would have to completely flush down $1,000. If that doesn't mean anything to you, $10,000, I don't care. But start to think of, if it happens one more time, or if the dog gets out the door one more time, slips through the door one more time, I would have to, you know, lose a lot of money or something like that, just to get your head in the right headspace.
Yeah. And I would say, getting back to the training, is that dogs learn to exhibit self-control through training. They learn some self-discipline, and it's okay to think about killing that person, but you're not going to do it. You're just going to hang out and suck it up. Just like us, we think about killing people, and we don't do it either because we were trained and we know that's not socially acceptable.
Yeah.
So dogs can learn the same things. It's the dogs that have no training, that are totally controlled by their instinctive behavior, that get themselves in a ton of trouble. And it's not fair to the dogs. It's not fair to the people coming to your house, and it's not fair. You shouldn't have to deal with that either. You don't need that stress. I was at a house the other day that the lady has this issue. She said she's got a lot of things going on in her life right now, a lot of big things. And she said, "These dogs are the most stressful thing in my life right now." And I said, "Well, we can fix that. If this is the biggest stress, we can really knock this down a lot."
Yeah.
And she was really relieved to hear that. And we can. We can get some training into these dogs and make them go from a 10 in the stress level down to about a 3.
Yeah.
And down to about a 3, which is, compared to a 10, it's nothing. It'll, you know, you'll still have some concerns, but you're not going to be just, you know, in tears.
Yeah. And you're still going to have protocols. Like, there will be protocols that, you know, these specific owners and stuff have to follow, and they need to, you know, get with the program and take our advice. And outside of training, if you're thinking, "I'm never going to get my dog to recall off a door, I'm never going to get my dog to have a solid enough bed command," even structure is going to help calm the dog down as well. Start with structured feeding. Maybe just step on the leash, you know, for a half an hour once a day. If you can, you know, stomach the crate situation, start to condition your dog to go to a crate. All of the structure that we put on any pet dog that we interact with calms them down in such a quick way. It's not even funny. We got the kindest testimonial the other day. A client sent us a picture of her dog on the bed. This dog has been on a bunch of, you know, psychotropic drugs in the past and everything else. And she's weaning the dog off of them, and the dog is going to be coming in for board and train later this year. And she said to Scott, she goes, "The bed creates more relaxation than any drug has ever created before." And we thought, that's so great. Like, that's what we're looking for in life. We're looking for a way for the dog to not only be able to be right, but also feel more comfortable in its own skin without being all drugged up on whatever the heck all these drugs are doing to them. So start to think about these things. And I'm glad that I came up with the drug situation real quick before we close here too, because if you have huge territorial aggression and you're talking to a veterinary behaviorist or your vet or something else, and they're saying, "Oh, why don't you try some medication?" You can try the medication, but there needs to be protocols on top of that medication. This does not now mean that because the dog got put on Prozac or Xanax that now they're not going to be having territorial aggression anymore. They may be more subdued, they may be XYZ, but you're still going to have to put some protocols in place and some forethought in place to prevent a huge incident from happening.
Yeah, I was thinking the drugs didn't work for me either. I mean, if they did, I'd still be doing it.
I was thinking, do you ever think of killing me? We're going to have a lot of talks here on the way home. All right, you guys, thank you so much for joining us this week. If you missed last week's podcast with Beth O'Connor from Canada about her Border Collie quilt, check it out. It was awesome. Everyone has loved it. We had a lot of great training discussion. And next week, again, is all about guardian dogs. Have a great week, you guys. Again, thank you for spending your Wednesday afternoon with us. And keep it quirky. Bye-bye.
Take it easy, guys.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts, guests, or callers of this program do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Studio 21, Podcast Cafe, the United Podcast Network, its partners or affiliates.